It is by Pendleton King. It has two characters in this play, Joe and Nora. And so the reason I chose this concept is I thought this would be a good way to kind of use the two microphones. So if you are listening with headphones, I think I'm gonna have Joe in your right ear, and then Nora is going to be in your left ear. Alright, here's a little background about the play. Let's see. So, I think it was written in 1921. So it's old. So you might hear some stuff that seems strange because, well, it might be strange today, but maybe it wasn't so strange in 1921. Here is, it starts off with, I know, I guess this is the setting. Yeah. I'm not a, English major or literature major. So, I don't know a lot about the nuances of this stuff. So, I assume this beginning part is called the setting. Alright, here's what it says. It says, the action takes place in an attic bedroom on Grand Street between Allen and the Bowery in the late summer of 1916 and occupies the time between 4 o'clock a.m. and daylight. This ceiling slopes down at the back to within a few feet of the door of the floor. There is a dormer window in a recess at back. Door left center. Bed at right of window. Table left. Bureau down left. Trunk down right. Chair at foot of bed. Though you may not have caught all that, I just read it and I'm staring at it and I can't visualize that. But anyway, they want you to picture an attic bedroom. And it just has a door, has a bed, has a table, has a bureau, has a trunk, has a chair. It continues, the room is in terrible disorder and confusion. Faintly seen in the glare from open window as curtain rises. And then they tell you what Joe's doing, and they tell you what Nora's doing. So it just says, Joe is discovered lying on the bed asleep, snoring gently, dressed in undershirt and trousers. He is good looking, powerfully built, 24 years old. Nora comes in and lights a candle on the bureau. She's a wistful looking girl of 30. Alright, so what you want to visualize here is Joe and Nora are in an attic bedroom in 1916. Joe is sleeping on the bed, and Nora has just walked in, and she's lighting a candle. Alright, I'm gonna speak Joe's lines into the right microphone, and I'm going to speak Nora's lines into the left microphone. And then they have some, information in brackets Now just speak that in the middle. I'll try to tell you who it pertains to. So it's going to begin with Joe. Nora, is that you? I didn't mean to wake you up. Go on back to sleep. I haven't been asleep. What time is it? Nora takes off her hat. It's about 4 o'clock. You're pretty late. Nora takes off her jacket. I had to walk from uptown. How far uptown? Oh, way uptown. I let a crowd shake me like a fool. Nora sits in a chair at the foot of the bed and fans herself. And I didn't have sense enough to get car fare. Whew. You don't realize how hot you are until you sit down. Poor kid. You must have had the gas lighted to make it as hot as this in here. Lord, I'm so glad to get home. Joe says gently, you didn't bring in nothing? Not a cent, Joe. Nora gets up and goes to the bureau. I don't know what's the matter with me. She looks in the glass. It's that darn fever blister. If I only had enough sense to get some camphor that first day. But it's most well now. Can't hardly notice it anymore. Of course, it's perfectly well. There won't be a trace of it tomorrow. I shouldn't have tried to go out those 2 days, the first of the week when it was so bad. Everybody was afraid of me, and it made me feel like a leper. I lost my grip in some way, and now I can't get it back. It all depends on yourself. Nora picks up a candle. If you're sure of yourself, you have luck. If you aren't, you don't. That's all there is to it. Nora crosses with a candle, which she then puts down in the trunk. If I had a wee bit of sniff tonight, I'd have got some money out of that crowd. Nora sits on the foot of the bed. But drinks don't brace me up somehow. It's all right. Poor old boy. Have you been lying here all night, in this heat, waiting for me? It's hard luck on you, Joe. Oh, I thought I'd go crazy tonight. My nerves are just all to pieces. I did think I was going to get some money this time. Why don't you take off your clothes and go to bed? Nora gets up and takes a packet of cigarettes out of her jacket. I swiped these for you. Anyway, here you go. Nora throws the box to Joe. Joe catches it. Gee, thanks. Joe, I wish you wouldn't say, gee, thanks. Nora goes up into the recess. I don't know why I hate it so. Nora begins to undress. All right, missus. Joe gets up to light his cigarette with the candle. Come and is undressing. No, it doesn't matter. I'm just nervous and irritable. Don't pay any attention to anything I say. If I don't get some money tomorrow, I just don't know what I'll do. It's terrible to be so dependent on anything as that. Joe lies down again. 4 days. No, tonight's Saturday. Well, that's 4 days, ain't it? We finished up that last deck on Tuesday night. That's right. I wouldn't have believed I could go so long. I don't see how you stand it, Joe. All night like this, doing nothing. I've been out. Don't worry about me. I can get on without this stuff for a while. Nora comes down in a kimono. I can't. She takes a cigarette. But then I've been using it so much longer than you have. Nora lights a cigarette at the candle. I've been going in some little time. A month or so before we took up together last summer. To think, Nora sits on the bed. Only a year. I wonder what would have become of you if I hadn't found you. What becomes of all those other poor bastards who get knocked out and can't get back in the ring? I don't know. That's the trouble with you boys. You're brought up with only one idea, to fight. And if anything does happen to you, you're not fit to do anything else. You're only 24 and you're done. I'll be 24 in October, I guess. Lord, it makes me feel so old. That's how you stand the strain the way you do. You are as firm and strong as you ever were. And look at me. Well, if a fella has to do as much training as I used to, he more or less keeps in condition, I guess. Nora lies down. I feel so old and tired and discouraged, Joe. If I didn't have you, I don't think I'd go on with it. Joe tightens his arm around her. I'm sticking to you, see? I never thought of you leaving me. She puts her arm up around his head and strokes his hair. I love you too much, Joe. I love you more than anybody else will ever love you if you live to be 1,000 years old. I don't reckon anybody'd love me much if I was that old. Nora laughs. I should. But you're only a baby now. A little old infant. She snuggles up to him and presses her cheek to his. Joe? In a whisper, she says, my darling. He gathers her closer, and there's a long pause. Tired, kid. No, not now. I get strength from you. You've got plenty of strength for both of us, haven't you, It's funny, ain't it? For a girl like you to take up with a rough guy like me. It ain't never known nothing but how to get his heart put on the blink. brings funny people together. Not so funny. You needn't tell me, kid. I may be nothing but a prize fighter, but I can tell a lady when I see one. And besides, you won't even own up to it. That's a sure sign. Nora laughs. Nora, very fine kind of lady. I've told you all about myself. I did work on the Evening Sun. And before that, I used to live on a farm in Kentucky. That's all there is. Well, that's what you say. I don't want you to tell me nothing you don't want to. Joe moves his position slightly. Are you all right? Yes. I got something I want to talk to you about. We're up against it. I know we are. And yet I can't lie here like this. And it doesn't seem possible that there is such a thing as trouble in the world. It is so serene to lie still and just stroke your hair. I don't want ever to move again. I can feel your heart beating. Do you feel how much faster mine is going than yours? Yeah. The sound of the elevated is heard. The elevated. It sounds like wind. Like a spirit that can't rest. The spirit of the city that goes on and on day and night. It never stops and never will stop, no matter what becomes of you and me. But when I'm lying close to you like this, there's a sort of electric current that radiates from you all over because you're so alive. What was I going to say? What was I talking about? You were talking about the elevated. Yes. I was going to say, while I'm lying close to you like this, all seems so far away, doesn't it? It is like lying in bed and listening to the sea. There may be death and storms and shipwrecks and things out there, but they're far away. They can never touch us. I wish we could get a good old sniff and forget our troubles, right? Poor old Joe. Nora raises up and sits on the side of the bed again. I declare I thought I would go crazy tonight. I haven't got a nerve left in my body. I wanted to know what you were doing. I thought all sorts of fool things. I could picture you getting desperate and breaking in somewhere and getting locked up and I don't know what. I could have got some stuff tonight at that. What do you mean? How? Who? The landlady. She was up here talking to me about it. When she knows how broke we are, we owe her 2 weeks' rent. No. I guess she would give me some. How do you mean, Joe? You know. Do you mean to tell me that woman has has been up here after you again. Nora's eyes narrow. I knew something was the matter. What did you tell her? I told her to get the hell out of here. What do you think I told her? I said I was off the stuff. Nora buries her head in Joe's shoulder. Oh, Joe. Well, I didn't want it so bad then. She come up here when she heard me come in, about 12 o'clock, and put it up to me. If we had any other place on Earth we could go, I would have got us out of this house the night you told me she first came up here and bothered you. But we couldn't get another place. She told our things until we paid her. And I haven't got a dollar to deposit on a room. I suppose she knows all that. That's what I got to talk to you about. She's going to kick us out. Kick us out. That's what she says. Unless what? Well, you know, I've been thinking pretty hard and figuring on putting it up to you. If you think it's worthwhile, just to keep the room on and have a place to sleep, you see. What are you talking about? Well, I think the old lady's reasonable. She come up here and made a big fuss over me and said she was gone on me and all that stuff. And I was staying on in her house and not paying no rent and everything. And if I was good to her, I'd have to get out of her house, that's all. That was after she offered me the dope. Joe, am I mad? Or what are you talking about? Well, never let me hear that again. Do you think I'd let you? Well, I let you, don't I? That's altogether a different matter. Don't ever let me hear that again. Do you understand? I can't argue about it. Nora gets up and crosses to the bureau. God, it's hot in here. Joe swings his feet out and sits on the side of the bed. Now look here, kid. Joe stands for a moment and then goes over to her. I got to live, ain't I? You are the swellest little girl any fellow ever had, and all that. And I'm awful fond of you. But we got to live. We got to do something. We got to get some money some way. If we can get on the way we've been getting on, I got to shift for myself, see? Joe takes Nora by the shoulders. I'm putting it up to you square, because I'm going to be straight with you. Of course we've got to do something. I'll do something. I'll get some money. You don't understand what you were saying. If it were the last night we'd ever spend under a roof, it wouldn't alter the question. Joe turns back to the bed. By God, it looks like this is the last night, with the luck you're having. Joe sits and leans on his chin, gazing at the candle. if I was able to do any kind of work, it'd be different. But this stuff's got me, I guess. I couldn't no more stick to any kind of a job than I could fly. You reckon if I was able to get back in the ring, I'd have you working. But we're up against it, that's all. As long as you can bring in the money, all right. But you ain't having any luck. And I just gotta do it, that's all. If I'm willing for you to go out every night, I don't see why you kick one old measly landlady. But Joe, you don't understand. Nora crosses to the bed. Listen to me. She sits beside him. You don't love me the way I do to you. It isn't your fault. It's the way you're made. I can go out, as you call it. It's a sort of sacrifice to you. A sort of way of showing how much I love you. It doesn't matter about me. You're the clean part of me. You're the part I live for. And you are sacred. Do you understand? Clean. Joe continues gazing at the candle. Sure. I get you. Nora slips down on one knee and buries her face against his arm. And I've always been straight with you. I think a whole lot more of you than you think. Go on. Say you love me. I love to hear you say it. Joe puts his left arm around her. I love you, all right. And I'll stick to you. But we got to live, ain't we? We got to get some money right away. And if you can't get it, I got to. That's if we're going to stick together. No, you haven't, Joe. I'd rather be dead. Nora raises up. I'll starve to death before I'll see you do that. And let you starve to death. I don't like her. I don't want you doing that. Oh, we can get out of here if you want to. It don't have to be her. There's more than one way of picking up money around this town. What do you mean? I guess you must know. It's the only way I see. I ain't got nothing but my looks. Joe, don't talk like that, please. We got to, kid. We're up against it. I'm going to be fair with you. That thing you got on your mouth ain't going to get well. So as you can't see it for 2 or 3 days yet, we get kicked out of here already. What can we do? Sleep in the park? I guess not. Not while I got a way to make easy money. Why, kid, I wish you'd see the number of them tries to speak to me every time I go out. It's easy, I tell ya. And there's good money in it. I don't like to talk about it, especially with you, but we got to. If we're going to stick together, we can get a nice room somewhere and keep a little stuff on hand all the time. I ain't going to leave you, but I gotta have the stuff, that's all. Gone without it 4 days now. Nora comes down and crosses to the trunk. You are a strange boy. She sits on the end of the trunk, facing him. Can't you see that you're the only thing I've got left in the world? But I ain't leaving you. understand that I found you when you were down and out, done for, that you belong to me. I saved you from this very thing, I suppose, a year ago. Don't you see, darling? Joe turns on his back. But I'm not, Nora. Can't you listen to me? I don't want to do it, kid. But we've got to. To live. But don't you understand that I wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole afterwards? Don't you see that? Joe, turning back in a huff. Of course, if you feel that way about it, we can bust up, as far as that goes. If you don't think no more about me than that. Nora stands up against the wall. Don't, Joe. Joe sits up in bed. I've always been straight with you. I've treated you right all the way. And I'm trying to stick by you. But of course, if that's the way you feel about it, all right. I got to live, ain't I? No. What do you mean by no? I don't see any reason why we should live. Well, I'm going to live. Nora sits down on the bed and tries to turn him towards her. Joe, my darling. Listen to me. You've been a wonderful boy, and I love you as very few people have ever been loved in this world. Because I had lost everything, you see, when I found you, everything. I had thrown everything away, and you've had to be the whole world. For me, since the whole world, you see, there isn't anything else. When the dope got me, I just went down because I didn't care about anything. I gave up my job and just let myself slide. I intended to kill myself when my money gave out. And I didn't even care how much I had left. Then, I found you that night at Mitchell's place. Joe turns on his back. I remember. Nora puts her head down on his chest. You can't remember much. I can't bear to think even now how you were beat up. But you were so full of it, you didn't know your arm was broken. That's right. I think it was broke about 2 days before that. I remember when it went. And since then, Joe, we've had a wonderful time. Do you remember when we used to have to sleep under the bridge? I love that old bridge now because it's associated in my mind with you. Yeah. We had a good time, all right. Nora straightens up. But now, the white sails of our ship are furled. and spent the lading of our Argosy. We've come to the end of our tether, Joe. What do you say we don't go on with it? What do you mean, don't go on with it? Turn on the gas. Joe sits up. What are you getting at? He lies down. Not for mine. Joe, we've had such a wonderful time. We've known everything there is to know in the world worth knowing. Let's not go downhill. We've reached the top. Let's let this be the end. I can't keep you any longer, and I've got to let you go. And I won't do it. That's all. Joe sits up and props himself against the head of the bed. You must be kidding me. Oh, come on. I never was more serious in my life. I can't go on with it. And I won't leave you behind to live without me. It's you that I love. The little strange spirit that makes you, you. Indifferent to everybody else that ever lived. If you go on, you are going to destroy that. Then you won't be you, and I won't love you anymore. Think. This may be the last night we'll ever spend together. The last chance we'll have. Let's turn it on now. No telling what'll happen in the daylight tomorrow. I can't wait to face it. I don't want to, kid. It ain't right to kill yourself. Are you afraid to die? Sure, I'm not afraid to die. What have you got to live for? Well, a lot of things, I guess. Joe, you've slipped. You've slipped away further than I thought. The stuff's got you, sure enough. You've slipped further than I have. I guess not. I'm not so bad off as that. Nora becomes slightly hysterical. You're pretty bad off, Joe. Don't you see that your life is finished? You are nothing. You are less than nothing. What you really are is the lowest thing that can be on Earth. And here you talk calmly about something even worse. There's no reason for you to go on living. Except your fear of death. I'm not afraid of dying, I tell you. Nora rises. Well, let me turn on the gas then. I'm not afraid. Look at me. Think of the trouble it takes to live. continues of going on and on, like a rat in a trap. And when you lose me, you'll just slip and slip. And you've got to die in the end anyway. And when you're dead, it won't make any difference to how long you lived. It will be just as if you'd never been born. Joe sits up and follows her with his eyes. I don't get you. No, I just can't face the daylight again, Joe. I'm too tired. Aren't you tired? What will become of you without me to take care of you? She edges towards the gas jet in the alcove. I don't know. Let's turn on the gas. Then we won't have to wake up in the morning and be bothered. You can't tell. Maybe. But I believe you're scared. Joe lies down and turns his face to the wall petulantly. Go ahead. Turn on the damn gas. I'll show you whether I'm scared. Oh, Joe. Nora closes the window and hangs an old skirt over it. She turns on the gas jet and the gas stove on the table. Then comes back on tiptoe, trembling, and blows out the candle on the trunk. The room is completely dark. Did you turn it on? Nora gets back in bed. Yes, and the stove too. How long will it take? Not long, I think. I don't know. Let's not talk about it. Joe, do you think I've got the right to take you with me? With you? To where? Now? Like this? I couldn't bear for anybody else to have you, Joe. You're trembling. I believe you're scared now. I'm not scared. I'm just happy. Happy. I thought I'd lost you, Joe. This is a tough thing to do. All right, kid. You reckon they'll put it in the papers? I expect so. Will they put in much? They'll be sure to find out who he was. You got letters and stuff in the trunk. We weren't anybody much. expect they've forgotten about us. They got to put it in the papers. They'll put it in something. Please, let's not talk about it, Joe. My darling. A long pause goes by. Joe speaks with a tremor in his voice. I don't smell any gas. It hasn't had time yet. Maybe we won't smell it. Gee, we got to smell it. I don't smell nothing way down here. Just wait and you will. It's only been a little while. Joe, come on back here. We've only got such a little while. I'm going to see what's the matter. Give me a match. The bed creaks as Joe gets out. For heaven's sake, don't strike a match. There might be an explosion. It can't blow up if you can't smell it. He finds matches on the trunk and crosses to the center of the room. I can smell it over here. He strikes a match to the gas burner, which lights a feeble blue flame. Oh, gee, the meters run out on us. Nora sits up in bed. The meter, but it can't have run out. A wave of terror comes over her. Have you been using the gas at night? Not but very little. But that's ridiculous. I haven't got a quarter to put in it. What can we do? Nothing. Unless we had a quarter. Nora laughs. But that's ridiculous. We've got to do something. Nah, I guess not. But Joe. Joe, with a note of relief in his voice, says, "Nah, I guess it wasn't meant for us to kick out tonight, kid. Let's get the window open." He takes down the old skirt and opens the window. The dawn has come up outside. Well, look at that. It's daylight.